Ed,
Hart.
Ed,
hey, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I didn't have the number.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's good. Glad to have you now, though. Glad to have
Who's
you now.
This?
This is Todd. This
Todd,
is
your... Todd.
Oh, hey, Todd.
And Louie on the other side. Ed.
Hi, Louie.
Good morning.
Thanks for all the emails. Thanks for making today happen.
No problem.
What are we missing out in California this morning?
Good weather.
If it's,
what do you got over there?
If it's 80 in palm trees, that's exactly what we have here.
Is it 80?
No, it's actually 50. 50 in rain.
Oh, gosh.
It's the longest winter ever, I believe.
Well, it usually is, you know. You get some good days in March, and you think you got it made, and then
correct.
You get a blizzard in April.
Correct. Actually,
that's right.
Yeah, there was 2 inches of snow on the ground last week. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
so.
I always used to say, you know, January, February, it's like living in a black and white movie.
That's right. Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good.
There's no color.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just there. And the
so
trees.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
We're good. Vindy is Vindy.
I did Ray Mancini. He has some kind of a streaming thing. I don't know if it's a podcast.
Okay.
I did that last week, I guess, for him.
He hasn't invited us on yet. Maybe we'll.
I don't think he's involved in inviting anything. You know, he just.
He does Ray. He's got
he's
the Ray.
He's
got
up.
The Ray.
He doesn't have to invite. He's Ray.
He's,
right?
Yeah, he's Ray. So he just sits behind the mic and starts talking.
Hey, I gotta tell you, you made news last week for us for a gentleman named Mr. Joe Schiavone.
Oh yeah. We've got a lot of mutual friends. Jack Lowe.
Yeah.
Over at Southside Boxing and Tim Ryan, and you know a guy named Tommy Banna.
I know the name.
I grew up with the Banna brothers. The Banna brothers lived up on Ford Avenue on the north side. There was Nazzy and Ricky and Tommy. Great guys. And, and I got to know Joe a little bit. You know, I did a little research on him, and I thought, hey, this is a good guy. So,
How did the commercial come about? How did they come to
you? They asked me if I'd do something, for him in that way, and I said, sure, and... So I don't know which one they got going now. You know, they cut off me at the end for an ad, and I thought.
Yeah. When's the last time you stepped into politics to speak up for somebody?
I came back for Obama.
Did you? Okay.
When he ran the first time, and I did a little bit of a little bit of that for him. You know, my mother was very active in politics in Youngstown. And my uncle, Joe O'Neill, was 7th District Court of Appeals judge.
Yeah.
And then his dad was mayor of Youngstown. And my mother was the first woman on Mayor Richley's cabinet. And we grew up with the Durkin family on Gypsy Lane. We always, in the Democratic Party, we
sure.
were heavily involved in, labor and, all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I've been in politics. I mean, on the fringe of it, because I was... I never really got that involved, but
what I liked about your Schiavone spot was just the nuance of I'm not going to tell you to vote for Joe, but I'm going to tell you that if you vote for him, he's a good guy or he'll do well for Ohio.
Yeah, I don't think you'll be disappointed, which I don't think. So often you got to go with your instincts with these things, and he's got a nice. I think a good track record. He's a hard worker. He
sure is.
He's an honest guy, And I mean, what the hell? I mean, geez, what we got going now? It's like
crazy,
like a joke.
Crazy.
I know. I read one criticism. I said, "Oh, this guy's an actor," and I thought, "Well, who did they vote in for president? A reality guy that's a beauty pageant producer and a crook? I'd have. I can't think of anyone that I would have voted for anybody. I'd have voted for Don King.
Yeah.
Over this guy. I'd have voted for John Gotti.
How often does the current state of affairs come up on the set when you guys are
shooting? Well, we don't talk about it too much because there's a couple of people on the other side. And, for me, you have to understand something. I was in New York City in 1980. And Trump was in the New York Post every day in the gossip column, running around on his wife and his kids were... in private schools, and the kids were having a tough time because of all that, and he was just a clown. We used to laugh about the guy, and nothing's changed.
What other feedback have you gotten about speaking up for Joe and making the commercial, and any other people find you after it's come out?
You know, I don't even read that stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't read. I don't care. You know, yeah. What do I care? I never cared when I was in Youngstown.
Your former university did a story about it. OU had a list about it, about you speaking.
About what?
About you stepping up for Siobhan.
Oh, did they?
Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, I like Joe. You know, I think he's a refreshing guy, and you know, it's just I just agree with everything he agrees with. It's as simple as that.
It's a numbers game, and hopefully he can find the numbers.
It's always a numbers game, I mean, people are going to go with whatever they go with, and you know, I mean, that's obvious, right?
Hey, speaking of your family, is it true that your Al Bundy character was somehow influenced by your judge uncle?
Yeah. Well, the voice.
Right.
You know, my Uncle Joe, probably nobody remembers him. I mean, he was one of the funniest guys I ever knew in my whole life. In fact, I had three uncles by marriage that were the funniest guys I ever knew.
Yeah.
Carl Mogg. You know, he had Mogg Meats up on South Avenue.
Yeah.
And Bob Zobel, who had Zobel Restaurant and Bar Supplies up on Market Street,
yep.
Was my uncle that married. You know, my mother was the oldest of four girls, and so they married these guys. And my Uncle Joe, by the way, same last name, but we weren't really related.
Gotcha.
So, but my Uncle Joe was a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I think he was Joey Naples' attorney for a while.
Okay.
And then he was president of the city council. You know, he was a lawyer. But he had this self-deprecating sense of humor that was hilarious.
Was he around by the time Married with Children came out?
He was around.
You could tell him that, hey,
I told him.
Uncle Joe, that's part of you.
He just laughed, you know. But the voice I took from my Uncle Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's...
He was a great guy, by the way.
It is a legendary character, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they're talking because of the success of Roseanne. You know, they're redoing Roseanne.
Yeah.
And they actually just offered me a two-week role in the show because I know John Goodman, and I turned it down.
A 2-week role in Roseanne
Roseanne, yeah.
As what character?
I didn't even get that far. I just said no.
Would you ever entertain Al Bundy coming back?
Well, that's what they're doing. They want to do it again.
Yeah.
And I told them I don't know how they could do it without the, you know, Ron Levitt. We still have Michael Moy, but Ron Levitt died. And I don't really want to do it, but yeah. I'll see. I'll listen to what they have to say. They have to get some really funny writers.
Could the Al Bundy character work in this era, especially?
I don't know that, you know, and I'm not too. Listen, I'm not going to bed at night thinking about it, you know.
Yeah.
So, I'll see what happens. I never say never, you know, because I've been wrong too many times. We'll see.
Never say.
We've still got another year to go on Modern Family, so we're contracted for another year, starting in August. So that's pretty far down the road. And then it's open-ended, so we may end up going 2 more years.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's possible.
When will that talk start, about next December, January?
It's I don't get involved in that, but I think it's, you know, it's up to the, you know, our bettors. It's all money, you know. If they can make money, they're going to do it.
It's just an amazing career to be part of two sustaining TV shows in that regard. I mean,
it's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lot of things. You know what I mean? It's a lot of the times are right for a certain show. I think when Married with Children came in 86, the times were right for that kind of show. You know, like the working title was We're Not the Cosbys.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and you know, all the shows that followed the Cosby pattern were, you know, the great families. You know, the father who's smart and the mother who's also smart, and the kids are smart. And then we came along with the
180 degree
difference. Family, yeah. And people were, you know, it was refreshing in a funny way. And the same with Modern Family being a whole other kind of a thing, but it seemed like the gay couple and the older guy and the younger woman, and it just sort of, you know, for whatever reasons, worked.
Back to Modern Family, how much of that success would that show have worked on ABC, NBC, CBS, whereas Fox was trying to break through and make some noise and stand out?
Well, we're on ABC.
No. Married with Children.
How
much of Married with Children's success?
I don't think so, because I don't think they would have given us the time.
Over,
you know, in other words, Fox didn't have a lot of product when we came in.
Correct.
And they had what? They had us. They had Duet. They had was it Jump Street? Did Jump Street come in then?
Roughly, yeah. Roughly.
And they didn't have. They had backup shows coming in halfway through the first season, and one was with George C. Scott and Patty Duke, and I think that was what they were counting on to get ratings for them. And it turned out that our show was getting, you know, finally started getting all the ratings for who knows why. But I mean, I think if we were on one of the other networks, they would have canceled us after six shows. And then we ended up going 265 shows or something.
265 shows, and you were up next to The Simpsons, right? For a period, or I mean that.
Well, we were in before The Simpsons, because okay. The Simpsons was started out as a cartoon on the Tracy Ullman show.
Yes, yes.
You know, it opened the show, and I think it may have closed the show. I don't know for sure, but and that show, I mean, that show's been running forever, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
Great show.
When you were up with that show, as far as when Married with Children was growing and Simpsons was coming along, did you ever see Simpsons lasting as long as it has?
I didn't even think about it.
Cartoon TV stars?
I never watched those cartoons. And when I finally did watch it, I realized it was good.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, it's hard for me to watch a cartoon since I was at the Belmont Theater, in 1958.
Ed O'Neill, if you don't mind if I ask, when you said that they had offered you, wanted you to come in on a couple episodes of Roseanne and you turned them down, do you mind if I ask why? What?
Trump.
Oh, wow.
Trump. She's a Trump fan. Listen, I'll tell you the truth.
Wow.
I swear to God this is true. I tell friends of mine who were for Trump and voted for Trump, I tell them to lose my number. Don't call me anymore. That's how much I can't stand this guy.
Wow. And you're at a point in your career where you just don't care. I mean, you don't need to care.
I never did care.
Yeah, exactly. True. Yeah.
I would have been the same way in 1980. I mean, this guy was just not a good guy. And, anybody would know that, right? I mean, I used to think that, in Youngstown, you had a certain street sense about people.
Yep.
And if you didn't, you could be in trouble in Youngstown. So I've got street sense, and I use it.
So when you told the crew that you're not coming on specifically because of Trump, any kind of reaction?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I just passed.
I got you.
But that's the reason. You want to know. That's the reason. So that's it. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, it's become a polarizing period. That's for sure. You're either left or you're right, and you're Trump.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's how I think we have to be. I mean, I always hear this stuff anymore about liberals. I'm not a liberal.
Yeah.
I'm a Democrat, but I'm not a liberal. I was a Teamster in Youngstown. Labor. That's what I was for. And I don't understand this liberal thing. I'm not a liberal.
399? Teamster 399? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to play baseball for 1462. It was up at Evans Field.
Up at Evans Field.
Is Evans Field still up there?
I'm embarrassed.
It was up above Covington.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Projects, up by... that area?
Rockford Village?
I'm not sure if the field...
Probably all changed now.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the field. I know Oakland Field was a beautiful field years ago, and there was
Oakland was over on the south side, right?
On the east side.
Oh, that was Victory Field, wasn't it?
Oakland, on North Blaine, across from the old WHOT.
Oh, right. Oh, that's the south side.
East side?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I broadcast from there, so I used to say live from the east side, overlooking beautiful Oakland Field.
I used to play baseball at Victory Field on the east side.
Okay.
That's probably gone.
I'm embarrassed to say. I'm not sure. I haven't even been by Oakland Field in years.
Well,
in
Field
years.
Was over by Loveless and Rose.
Right.
And
yeah.
If they were growing.
Hey, building that can company over
yes.
there on the east side.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, Mitch Joseph is an old friend of mine. You know.
It's coming along nicely.
That's great. You know, his cousin is Mike Herrick, and Mike was a real good friend of mine. Mike's from the east side. I graduated high school with Mike and a kid named Frankie Bernard, who just died, by the way, a great guy. Anyway.
Yeah, no, so the can company's coming in, pretty much have leveled that whole block. So that whole
that's great.
From McGuffey Road there.
I mean, I hope it's great.
No, it's nice. It's
works out for jobs for guys, you know, people in Youngstown.
Correct. No,
they can use that for sure.
There's a lot of excitement for it. We're struggling with GM. GM is cutting back on jobs, so I think people are excited and trying to work through a deal with TJ Maxx.
You mean that in Lordstown?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. Lordstown's cutting back as the cruise sales falter And TJ Maxx is trying to locate a big, huge facility here for warehouse, and that's struggling to get on the ground. So the Chill Can project will be welcomed.
Huge, yeah, huge
sure.
project.
Absolutely. Going back to your history, bumped into some Southside guys who say that the best place for sports in Youngstown was Kyle Field on Market Street here. Did you ever get over to Kyle Field to play any of the games?
No, I used to play at Gibson Field.
Gibson?
On Gibson, yeah.
Well, Gibson was up, you know, if you're on your way to Struthers, right? And you went up Youngstown Poland Road.
Okay. Yep.
And it was up there.
On Gibson. Gibson Street. No, on Gibson Street.
Yeah.
On Gibson.
And it was a beautiful field. They had like a double field. You know, two diamonds. And it was Little League, you know, but it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
I used to play there, and that was where we played Little League.
Where'd you play your football at?
Well, football, I played for Ursuline. We played, you know,
right there,
Youngstown State. We played Youngstown State. We played our games at Rain Stadium, and you know, they didn't have the stadium at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
We used to practice out in Liberty. It was just a field. You know, when I played for Dyke Beattie, they didn't even have sleds, blocking sleds or anything.
Just have to beat on each other?
Yeah.
Or did you beat on?
Yeah, we just beat on each other.
Or did you find small guys in the hallway to beat on?
No, I was never into that.
No. I saw.
Because I had been a small guy growing up, so I was, you know, I was usually looking for a big guy that was a bully.
To protect you?
No, to beat up.
That was funny. I saw an interview with Terry Bradshaw, who was raving about you guys being together at rookie camp.
Oh man, we had a ball.
Could you have ever imagined Terry being as popular as he is today? Back then,
you know, it didn't surprise me really, because he's such a funny, engaging guy. You know, and well, by the way, he's no dummy.
No.
He's a smart guy.
He plays the country guy well, though. Right?
He plays it. He plays that kind of character, you know. But he's great, and he was a hell of a ball player, man. He was. And he just did our show, you know. We just did a Modern Family.
Correct.
And my part of the show was with him. It was a jury duty kind of a show, and we just had a riot.
And you guys were only together for just a couple weeks. How the heck did you reconnect after being together just a couple weeks?
Well, he did Married with Children.
Okay.
You know, he did one of those shows years ago, and that's when I met him. You know, and he
gotcha. All right,
you know,
so
he came in and said, you know, I know you were with the Pittsburgh Steelers for a while. I was there the year before he got there.
Okay, all right.
I was there the year that Rocky Blyer was in Vietnam, and. the rookie quarterback my rookie year was Terry Hanratty from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And we had a guy from the Redskins. I forget his name. Anyway. So, yeah. So I know, I see Terry all the time because I have a place in Hawaii and he's there all the time. And I always run into him. And I run into him more in Hawaii than I do anywhere else.
Oh.
Yeah, I think he's just one of the funniest guys on television.
He is.
You got to watch him.
He's a great guy. And, that's a nice show. And, you know, he does country music. He shows horses. He's got a ranch now in Oklahoma. And he's real happily married. I think that's his fourth marriage, I think. But he's finally, you know.
This is the one, right? This one's the one.
You better put quotes around happily. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't bet on happily for too much if this is his fourth one. You never know.
Yeah. But he's got, I think this one he's got the right gal.
Who's the better quarterback actor, Terry or Peyton Manning?
Oh, geez, that's Peyton's great. Terry's had more experience now, being older. But Peyton's great. We have Peyton on the show.
He is outstanding on Saturday
Night
Live.
It's funny. When he came on the show, because I had seen his commercials, which I thought were fantastic.
Correct.
And the day that I met him on the show, he was nervous, He was saying he didn't quite know how to do this. So I said, what are you talking about? I've seen you do, five or six commercials that are great. He said, well, I'm just playing myself. And this is a character. And I just started laughing. And he said, I don't know how to do a character. I said, well, you just be yourself. Who else can you be? So that kind of calmed him down a little bit. And he ended up being great.
Now, if I remember the episode, wasn't he hitting on your wife? Or wasn't Sophia hot for him?
No, but she had hired him to teach our little boy how to throw because I had a torn rotator cuff, and I was jealous, because I said that was my job as a father, to teach his son how to throw a ball, but I couldn't throw it. So I finally, acquiesced, and then it turns out that he was really trying to meet me because he wanted some advice in business.
Nice. Okay, that's right. Yep. Yeah.
And then, he opened up some kind of ridiculous business, it was funny. Coach Bob, I think he played.
Yeah, he is just funny as get out.
I did a documentary and I was the voice, I was the narrator of the year that he made his comeback after the neck surgery. That was, they didn't know if he could do it. And there was a one-hour, it was called Timeline. You know that show, Timeline?
No, never seen it.
Oh, it's a great show. It's, it's 1 hour long, dealing with sports. And this was a thing about Peyton Manning's comeback and his work ethic.
Oh, gotcha.
Which is unbelievable. I mean, his work ethic is like...
Oh, yeah, he's a machine.
Yeah.
Very disciplined.
Yeah. I mean, I never, I told him, I said, listen, when I was coming up, I didn't have any kind of a... We didn't have that sort of coaching and those things that they do now to get better. We didn't, I didn't know anything about that stuff. We just go out and play,
beat on each other with equipment that was found old, beat up.
Well, it was actually like a handicap.
If
you wore those kind of pants with the pads, you couldn't run as fast.
Yeah.
The shoes, high tops, when I was a kid, you couldn't run. The helmets were so goddamn heavy. I mean, you were literally handicapped. You'd have been, when we were kids, we played without equipment. Maybe we had a helmet. But you just play in a jersey and jeans and tennis shoes.
What do you think?
And you played a lot better.
What do you think of all the talk these days about the concussions? Would you want your son playing this year at this era with all the concussion talk?
No.
Yeah.
No, I'd tell him don't play.
Well,
the game basically, it's not made for the body, the human body,
There's
knee only bends one way.
Yeah.
doesn't bend backwards.
And as much as they try and preach to reduce the head contact, just the very
There's
nature,
no
the nature of how it's played, you can't. It's so hard.
There's no way. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and the collisions are so
violent.
And they, by the way, they always have been.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I was playing, you could spear.
Really?
With your head. You could throw forearms like punches.
Really?
You know, the way they throw them in the UFC?
Yep.
You could do that in football, and it was not illegal. There was crackback blocking, so you could take a guy's knee out on a blind side, no penalty. You could hit the quarterback at will. In fact, the quarterbacks were like, you know, there was like a bounty on them. So you could nail them all day long. And, you know, Bradshaw played that. He had like 24 concussions.
Oh.
So, yeah, no, I would have to say no. There's better games to play.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even hardly watch it anymore. I mean,
just because of time or because of what it's become?
No, it's boring. It bores me. It's like, you know, if I never see another screen pass, I don't care. You know, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I went out and drove around when there was no traffic, you know.
That's right, no traffic because everybody was watching the Super Bowl. That was you and me. I don't know, it was you and me that were out driving around. Only you and I, we were the only two guys that didn't watch.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights after it was over. I didn't care.
Did you ever envision yourself being this way about football? Or was, I mean, how long has it been this way versus a passion for
you? You know what? I tell you the truth with me. When I was done with football, I was pretty much done with football.
Gotcha.
You know, it was like, I'm kind of sick of this. You know, I played for two different colleges, and it was enough, you know, it was enough.
Yeah, we're at the.
I'm lucky. In fact, Terry Bradshaw and I had this conversation. That he said to me, you know how lucky you were you got cut? And I said, yeah, looking back on it, yeah.
I'm glad
I got cut.
When you got cut, when that final day happened, what do you remember? My son's transitioning out of his favorite sport as we speak, and he's kind of sad
about it. Well, to be honest with you, it was a shock to me.
Yeah.
And I was kind of numb.
Yeah.
And then I had to start saying, well, now what am I going to do? You know, all I know how to do is this. And I remember when I was at, they were going to take me somewhere, like where you want to go to the airport, you want to go to the bus station, you know, you got to leave. And I said, no, I got a friend who lives downtown. Just drop me off downtown, which was a lie.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking. I said, I'm going to go to a bar.
Sure.
And so they said, well, we're going to swing by the stadium. We got a lot of nice stuff for you, you know, like jerseys and T-shirts and, you know, and your cleats are down there in your locker, you know, because you bring your own shoes to camp, your own spikes, you know what I mean? So it's comfortable.
And this is what, 71, 70-ish?
No, this is 69.
69.
And I said, leave the shoes. Leave them. I don't need them.
Yeah.
And I don't want any of that swag. And they said, come on, man, we got game jerseys and T-shirts. And I said, why would I wear that?
You were done.
I'm done. If I made the team, I'd wear it. Hats. I don't wear that stuff. So I said, no, you keep it. Give it to somebody else.
All right, so it's a numb feeling that you remember. When you became an established actor and you got some mojo going, did the numbness ever disappear when you would lose an acting gig or a series would end?
I'll tell you a funny story about how this kind of shit affects you. I still have dreams that I'm in camp.
Do you really?
Now, here's the funny thing. I'll bet I have this dream 5 times a year, every year since 69. 5 times a year, I dream I'm back in camp. But I know... I'm the age I am. So this year, I'm in camp, and I said to a coach, hey, you know, I'm 71 years old. The guy says, well, you still look pretty good. I said, no, I'm going to get hurt. And it wasn't until just a few years ago in the dream that I said, hey, no, man, I'm quitting. I'm done. All those times before, I'd say, well, maybe I can still make it.
5 times a year for the last 40, 50 years.
Correct.
Wow.
Wow, so never...
And Bradshaw told me he just had a dream that they called him on the phone. Now, he had torn his his bicep on his right arm, his throwing arm, recently. It detached it from the bone. You know, the bicep rolled right up like a blind, and he had to have surgery. So he got a phone call from one of the coaches, and they said, "Hey, Terry, we're playing New Orleans in the Super Bowl, and Big Ben is hurt, and we want you to come down and play." And he said, "Well, I got a torn bicep. I can't even throw underhand." I said, "That's all right. Just fake it." So he said, "I went down, suited up, went out on the field, and started playing the Super Bowl." And he said, "I just started throwing." I said, "The hell with it. I'm throwing like a 70 yards and won the Super Bowl." And he said, "I woke up in a sweat. My wife was saying, 'Terry, what's wrong? Are you okay?'" He said, "Honey, I just won my fifth Super Bowl."
Wow.
He just had the dream.
That's funny.
So it does something to you. You know what I mean? It affects you. And he played 14 years.
What affects
you? He's got a lot of physical, he's got rheumatoid arthritis. He's got a knee replacement. He needs a hip replacement. He's got a steel rod in his wrist. He's got too many concussions to count. He's got, he's got a lot of physical problems from those 14 years.
When you say that it sticks with you, you mean this childhood passion that you had just never escapes you, even though you walk away from it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't say. It's somehow it's in your head, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember your first
girl? It never really goes away all the way, you know.
Similarly, do you remember your first girlfriend the same way? I mean, your childhood sweetheart. I mean, I think people talk the same way with those situations.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember girls that I had crushes on that were never became girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a crush.
Yeah. Do they come back in dreams?
No.
All these years later.
You know, and I never had a car.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was hard to have a girlfriend if you didn't have a car. I had a bike.
Yeah.
Up until I was 18, I didn't have a car. We were a one car family, and my father basically had the car. You know,
honey, hop up on the handlebars.
Yeah, that didn't work too good. And all I did was play sports at that age. You know what I mean? I mean, I had crushes and I had a couple dates. Maybe I don't know. I don't remember it much.
I think a couple calls ago, you and Louie connected the dots that you guys kind of grew up on the same Northside intersection neighborhood. Am I remembering that right, Louie?
Yeah, we ran in some of the same places. Yeah.
Louie, where did you grow up? Did you grow up on the North Side?
I was South Side, actually. When I was young, I was on Dewey Avenue.
Oh,
on
yeah.
The South
well,
Side.
My father was a South Side guy. My father grew up on Overland. And he went to South High School.
Yeah, South High School is still standing strong. It's big.
Wow.
It's a big machine over there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, trying to figure out something with it. Yeah. I don't,
yeah.
It's a tremendous building.
But I grew up on North Heights. It was on the corner of North Heights and Ohio, right? One block from Wick Park.
Yeah, now his eyes are getting big.
A little bit later, you and I are close in age. I'm essentially 65. I'm almost 65. But I lived on North Heights when I was maybe in 70, in the early 70s for a while, in a beautiful house, one of those big, beautiful homes. Where they turned him into three apartments on North Heights by Ohio. And then my girlfriend, who has been my wife now for 38 years, we lived on Ohio Avenue. Do you remember the building? It was like a four-story beautiful building. I think they called it the Ohio.
Yeah.
That we lived on the fourth floor of that for quite a while. That building's gone. That was a beautiful building it was great. We had one of those old elevators, Ed O'Neill, that you it's self-operated, but it had the door, you close the door and then bring the little screen across. It was a beautiful building.
Was that That was on Ohio Avenue, right?
Ohio, near. Oh God.
Was it on the east side
of the street? Yes, sir. On the east side of the street.
Yeah.
Just before the school.
Well, where I grew up on Ohio and North Heights, that was my mother's father's apartment building. My mother's dad had a gas station on the corner of Madison and Elm. He was kind of a businessman, you know. He had some property, but we lived in downstairs in the apartment.
Okay.
That building is gone.
Did the Savages on North Heights?
They lived right across the street.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're bringing back some memories. I remember a couple
right
of the Savages.
The one
the
house.
That's the name.
Do you know that the house? There were two houses above the Savages' house.
Okay.
It was originally the Youngstown Country Club's golf building. I guess, whether, you know, they used to play. That was part of the Youngstown Country Club years and years ago.
Wow, I don't
that
remember
that was
that.
A golf course. See, that before they moved out to
correct
where they are now.
Yep, the first Youngstown.
It
Country
started
club.
There.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
On North Heights?
Yeah. You can look there. You can Google that.
By the Savages. I remember. Now I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I haven't thought
like
about the Savages
two houses
for years.
Further up, going up towards Fifth Avenue. On the same side as the street. In fact, there's a house still there that was part of that country club. It's still there.
There's some beautiful homes on the north side.
The fashionable,
yeah,
yes,
side
fashionable.
Of town, but not
upper crust.
Not when I was there; it was before me.
The house that you're speaking of, is that the same house that Joe Flynn lived in?
Yeah,
wow.
Joe was on the second floor with his mother Gracie
from McHale's name,
and he wasn't a relative, but just coincidental. Lived
well,
in the same
we
house.
Were related to his mother somehow. Flynn was. I don't know how. I think Gracie was related to my grandmother Quinlan. Some way.
And Joe's acting career was?
He was at the Youngstown Playhouse at that time. And he was older than I was. I was just a kid.
McHale's
Navy. He used to wear spats.
McHale's Navy, correct? Joe
yeah,
Flynn?
Yeah.
McHale's Navy.
Yeah, Bimington. Right?
That
was his name.
That's before Todd's time. Todd doesn't remember McHale's Navy. You and I do, Ed O'Neill. You and I remember McHale's Navy. Todd's
Admiral,
too young.
Admiral Bimington or something like that.
I'm getting a text.
He was a funny guy.
I'm getting a text from our crack staff here. It says Gracie used to work here at the Vindicator.
Yes, I think that's right. You know where she lived? She lived on the other side of Wick Park. Was that Park Avenue?
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
In that building across the street from the Renner Mansion. It was a brick tall building. It was, when I say tall, it might have had, well, I don't know, 8 or 9 stories. I don't know if it's still there.
There's an 8 or 9 story
apartment. It was a little bit west of Michigan. See, because my grandmother Quinlan and my grandfather Quinlan lived on Michigan. That house is still there. You know, where the freeway cuts through.
Yeah.
It's like, but that house is still there. If you go down Michigan, you know, you turn off Park Avenue and you go down Michigan, the Renner Mansion was on the left, right on the corner there. And then you went on down Michigan and their house was on the right.
Okay.
You know, down now it's like at the bottom of the street.
So your last time in town was for the YSU event?
Yeah, I guess so.
When you get here, do you drive around and just take
a look? Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
Where do you like
I
to
do.
Go?
I
Where
do
you like to go? Where do you like to
you
drive?
You know, I pulled into the driveway of that house I just described.
Did you
Michigan,
really? Did you really?
And I was in the driveway, and this kid came out. He looked like a gangbanger, you know? He came out the front door.
Yeah.
And he's looking at me like, you know.
What are you doing?
What do you want, you know? And he walked down towards me, and I had the window down. You know, the kid with the jeans falling off his ass.
Sure.
You know, he had headphones on, and he says, what you want? I said, my grandmother and grandfather, this used to be their house. I grew up in this house. He said, is that right? I said, yeah. I think he thought I was a cop or something, you know. And I said, yeah. And he started looking at me. He says, oh, man, are you Al Bundy? And I said, yeah. He said, Al Bundy grew up in my motherfucking house? I said, yeah. He said, oh, man, wait till I tell him. Wait till I tell my friends. I said, they won't believe you.
That's hysterical.
I drove away.
selfie? He didn't pull out the phone and get a selfie?
No. I mean, I had to be somewhere, actually, at the university. It was something I had to do down there. I forget what it was. But, I was on my way down there, so I was running a little bit late.
Was that the Northside Heights house?
No. My house was across the park.
Okay. Okay.
It was Park Avenue, then across the park was Broadway.
Yep.
And then Ohio Avenue cut off of Broadway.
Correct.
And one block was the house, my house there. All right. But that house was gone.
Where was the last place that you lived here in town before you called it quits here?
Oh, that would have been on Crandall Avenue. That house is still there, 268 Crandall Avenue.
268 Crandall. All right, so we're going to go to 268
Crandall.
Yeah,
it's practically gone, but it's still there.
All right.
And my aunt and uncle lived right across the street, and the Banks family lived right up the street.
Good memory.
The Mitchells. I mean, I still remember all the neighbors, the Rochfords. And
you've got a great memory. I don't know.
Yeah, I do. Really, some things. You know?
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you remember any of the Savages, the kids?
I knew them all.
What? The young lady.
There was Pat. There was, there was Tommy. Tommy was the oldest son. There was Susie. There was, they were good looking kids, you know.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch of them.
Yes, there were.
And they had some problems, they had some struggles, but we got along great.
Yeah, some great kids.
What was the address for the gangbanger? What was that address?
Huh?
What was that house with the gangbanger?
That was my grandmother's house, grandmother and grandfather Quinlan.
Yeah, what address?
That was my mother's father and mother. What's the address?
Yeah,
I don't remember the address.
All right.
But there's only two or three houses on that street on the right-hand side going down.
All right. That's a great story.
That's a great story. That's a
fucking Al Bundy.
I had that same experience when I went over. I used to, every time I come to Youngstown, I go to Carchetti's. You know where Carchetti's is? It's in Louisville.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to ask if that was the one that's down there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's on the river there.
Yep, correct. Correct.
And I love that place.
Yep.
You know, I've been going there for years, and every time I come to town, I go out there for lunch. And the last time I was out there, there's sort of a nice area there. It's kind of pretty down there. You
absolutely,
know?
It's a wonderful.
It's a really neat nook. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. I love driving down there. I love everything about it. And there was a little bench out in this. I don't know. It was sort of a field, but it was. It was nice, green grass.
Yep.
You're by the river, you know.
Yep.
And I was sitting there, and this kid came up on a bicycle, teenage kid, young kid. And he goes, hey, how you doing? I said, good. And he started looking at me, man. He says, oh, come on, man. I said, what's the matter? I knew, you know.
Yeah.
He clocked me, you know.
Sure.
He said, because you look like somebody. I said, who? He said, you look like Al Bundy. I said, well, hey, I got to be someplace. And he said, are you Al Bundy? I said, yeah. He said,
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? I said,
that's great.
I'm just sitting here.
That is great.
And he went, that must be strange, right? I mean, he probably watches me on reruns, on TV, and there I am sitting there in the middle of Louisville.
Correct. Exactly. There's not a lot of people going there.
No, but I go to these little places when I go back to Youngstown. I go to the Palm Gardens, for the lamb roast.
Yep, yep.
On the west side. I've got these little places I still just love to drop. And I just go by myself. I just go in and get some lamb or get a shot of ouzo or, you know.
Golden Dawn is closed.
I know. Yeah. You know, I grew up there. That was sort of my, you know, my grandfather went there, my father went there, all my relatives. You know, it was a North Side, hangout.
Correct.
Yeah, it was the 30s, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of sadness on that day.
People
were still hoping that it might pop back, that's for sure.
I'll tell you another funny story about the Golden Dawn. You know, when you went to the Golden Dawn, I started going to the Golden Dawn when I was 2 years old. And my dad would take me. And then when I got to be 8 or 9, you know, I'd get a cheeseburger and fries and a squirt in a fishbowl. And Carmen and Ralph were always, one of them was always there. So all my years going to the Golden Dawn, it was the greatest place. And the one thing about the Golden Dawn, you know, you couldn't curse. You got warned once, and then you were 86. Forever. So nobody ever did, you know, for fear of that happening. And then they never gave you anything. You know, whatever you wanted, you paid for. Now, you could pass out on the bar with your paycheck in front of you. They wouldn't steal your money. They'd put it in an envelope. They'd call a cab or your wife or, you know, they'd make sure you were okay. So the last time I was in the Golden Dawn, I have something to do with the Beatitude House, you know.
Yep.
My mother was a big, sponsor for them. And when she died, I sort of took over for Sister McNicholas up there. And I took my wife. We were in town, and we went up, and we saw her, and we took her and one of the other nuns to lunch at the Golden Dawn. So we're in a booth, and we ordered a bunch of stuff because, I wanted to sample stuff, and Ralph came over. Ralph came over. Carmen wasn't there. And Ralph was on his way to the bank. Now, at this time, Ralph was built like an L-beam. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was so crooked over that when he was walking, he was basically looking at the floor.
Sure.
And he had to be 95. So he came by, and, you know, I jumped up, and I hugged him, and I... You know, he said, "Oh, it's good to see you, Eddie." You know, he called me Eddie, you know.
Sure.
And we had a little exchange. He said, "Thanks for coming," and "Hi, guys," and I got to run. You know, I'm going to the bank. So he leaves. So now I call for the check, and the waitress says, "Ralph took care of it."
Wow.
I said, "What?" He said, Ralph picked it up. It's the first and only time, and the last time I was there. In all those years, Ralph would never, you know, they just didn't, that wasn't their policy. I couldn't believe it. It was one of two things. Either he knew he was never going to see me again, or I was with nuns.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the latter.
Wow. That is
That's
old
a great
school.
Story, yeah,
that is old school for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Naples brothers. You know, guys used to, if you got in an argument, you bet somebody on the result of a football game or basketball game or whatever it was that happened anywhere, the bet could be resolved if you called and asked one of the Naples brothers the result. They would pay off. If Ralph Naples said, "No, Ohio State beat him in 1959, it was 18-14. That's what happened, and the guy would pay.
I think when you tell that story about the Golden Dawn, I think it's just an old school way that you just don't mess with somebody's money. You know, however, it's,
all right,
whether it's a bet, it's a food bill, it's a wage or a donation, it's their money, and if they spend it a certain way, it's how they do it. But otherwise,
I tell you something I actually witnessed in there one time. I was at the bar, and Carmen was working. And, they always wore the white shirts and black ties.
Correct.
Always, right? And they were always so polite. And there were two young women were sitting in a booth, away from the bar. And there were two young guys at the bar. They were like IBM guys. You know, a lot of the guys from IBM or the car dealerships used to come in. And, they were well-dressed and everything. And so... They got up. No, they sent drinks over. to these two gals. And the gals waved and thanked them, you know, with a signal, you know, thank you for the drink. And the next thing you know, they came over and they joined them in the booth. And they called for the waiter. And Carmen walked over and said, gentlemen, I said, yeah, we'd like to get another round, you know. And he said, now, guys, you didn't come in here with these girls, so you're not going to sit with them.
Really? Wow.
You're more than welcome to go back and sit where you were sitting, or you can leave.
Wow.
I saw that. So in other words, if you didn't come with them, you weren't leaving with them. It was a family joint.
And he's probably knowing who the uncles were or the fathers, and he's, you know, making sure.
Well, these guys just said, "Oh, we're sorry, Carmen. We didn't realize," and they got up, and went back to the bar.
That's
amazing. They didn't want to leave, you know.
That's amazing.
But they were very strict.
It was a different era, a much different era.
Completely.
People would look out for each other instead of take advantage of each other.
Do you have any set times that you're coming back here?
No, I don't know. I never know when I'm. You know, I still have my aunt, Pat. My mother's youngest sister lives out in Canfield, Pat Mogg, out on South Turner Road.
Yeah.
And all her. I have so many nieces and nephews up, you know, in that area. So whenever I come back, I go see her.
Did you find yourself?
Other than that, I just have a few friends around, you know.
Did you find yourself gaining relatives as you became more famous? I got more cousins than I ever knew.
Yeah, no, not really. You know, they've been pretty good about that. You know, a lot of people in Youngstown, they don't get out here too often. They don't get to L.A. much.
Yeah.
They go north and south. They go to Florida.
Yeah, it is neat to bump into some of the names that are out there. Is there Ryan Saul? Is there works for a literary agent? Then who was Tom Cruise's manager for all those years? She's from
Houston. My God! Yeah, well, you know, she almost married my best friend.
Oh, really?
In Youngstown, you know, years ago. She was so beautiful. She had another name. You know, I'm not good with names. She lived out on. Tibbetts Wick.
Okay.
Right? And she was an actress. I think they'd come up from Pittsburgh. Her family had money. I don't know what her father did, but...
But pretty much all of Tom Cruise's rise in the 90s was she was at his side.
That's right. But she had quit acting by then, and she started managing.
Okay.
And that's how she got in with Cruise. She was a manager. And then when she got Cruise, she just sort of went just with him, you know. Because that was a smart move,
and they killed it. They killed it.
Yeah. Oh,
that.
Yeah.
That's for
yeah.
Sure.
And a really nice woman. I mean, and you know, she looked like Liz Taylor.
Correct. Yeah.
She was just a beauty. And God damn it, what's her name? I can't believe I forgot this.
Yeah. As soon as we get off the air, we'll both.
My buddy Jimmy Harrell, who went to Ohio State, still lives in Columbus. They used to date. They were going at it. You know, they were serious. And then for the reason they broke up, and then she went out. Wes.
Yep. Yeah, our staff just texted me. Paula Wagner is her name now.
Paula Wagner.
Oh, that's right. Paula Wagner.
Yeah.
And her name before was Paula Kaufman.
Okay.
Paula Kaufman when she when they were they'd come in from I believe they came from Pittsburgh. And Paula Wagner, that's right.
Yeah, but on her wiki, Youngstowner. That's it's kind of cool to see that.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, she's a great gal, man.
Speaking of Youngstowner, this season, Jay Pritchett officially is from Youngstown, right? Is this the first year that Jay's been officially from Youngstown?
Yes. I always throw stuff like that in, you know, like every chance I get, you know, I had an Aunt Toonie, and we used that on Married with Children, the ashes of my Aunt Toonie, and... you know, Elvis was seen in Youngstown, Ohio.
Again, I think.
We could send you a batch of Vindicators if you need them for season 10.
Well, listen, here the thing is this. You know, I loved growing up in Youngstown. I loved Youngstown. I mean, you know, I can't imagine, you know, what you can't ever imagine being anywhere that you weren't, you know. But I love the everything. I love the young stuff. I love the music. I like the food. I like the people. And, you know, it was a tough, hard scrabble town, and it was a great place to grow up.
I think it still is, too. It's got.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, I haven't been there now. But you know, I know it's been such a tough time for people. You know, it's so funny because I used to work at U.S. Steel in the Ohio Works, you know. Because my dad used to work there, and I used to work in the summers, you know, when I was going to Ohio University, and then I'd work the summer in the mill, and then after I came back to Youngstown, I started working in the mill for, I forget how long, but, and then I told my friends I was going to go to New York, you know, to try acting, and they said, are you nuts? There's no security in that. You should stay in the mill. There's security in the mill.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, you would have been out. You would have been out 10 years later, probably.
Like everybody else.
Correct.
You know.
Yeah.
Correct.
Sadly. Like everybody else.
President Trussell.
I remember when I decided for sure I was going to go, I was having lunch in the Golden Dawn. And, you know, they had that horseshoe bar.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep.
And I, you know, and now remember, I said I'd been there since I was 2 years old. Now, I was 20, I think 28 now. And I was sitting at the bar having lunch, and I was, you know, I just sort of looked down the bar, and I knew almost everybody at the bar. And it seemed to me at the time that the ages were, as I looked down the bar, were getting older as they went around.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, that's going to be me. You know, if I stay here, I'll eventually be down there at that stool. But it'll be the same bar and the same stools, you know?
Correct. Correct. You just slide down a chair with every couple of years.
I just slide down a chair and move over, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, you want a beer or, you know. And for some reason that, what do they call that? Is that an epiphany?
Sure, yep.
I just sort of said, I got to get out of here. And I asked Ralph for change for the payphone because, of course, there was no cell phone.
Sure.
And I was working down at the university at the pub. I was the manager of the pub at Kilcolly Center. And I was a lousy manager, you know. I was. it didn't pay anything. I was $10,000 a year or something. And I called my boss from the Golden Dawn. And I said, listen, before I lose my nerve, I want to give my 2 weeks' notice. She said, are you crazy? You know, I said, no, I'm going to go to New York. Okay, are you sure? You know, I said, yeah.
This is 1970 what?
This was 79.
Was it? Okay, so 10 years after the Steelers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had spent time, you know, I was in Youngstown. Well, actually, I went to Florida after the Steelers. I lived in Fort Lauderdale. I was a bellhop at a hotel down there in Lauderdale with my friend Sammy Anga, my roommate who just died a week and a half ago. Terrible. Sammy Angott was my roommate at OU. He pitched for the Pirates, short relief pitcher. But he played for OU when I was playing for OU football, and we became friends. And then he signed a bonus with the Pirates a little before I tried out for the Steelers. And then we were roommates in Florida. His dad is in the Hall of Fame for boxing, Sammy Angott.
Okay.
He was from little Washington, Pennsylvania, you know. But they grew up in Massillon. And then, then we lived together in Lauderdale. And I was a bellhop, you know, crazy. And then came back to Youngstown, and I started teaching as a substitute in the inner city school system. Yeah, it's a crazy story, you know.
Do you ever pick yourself, 29 years old, managing a bar, and now pretty much one of the most sustained Hollywood TV actors? I mean, actors. I mean, just.
I mean, you couldn't even make it up. I mean,
no.
It's the luckiest thing in the world, you know. I mean, if I had known what the odds were then, I remember when I was going to New York, my father said to me, "Jesus Christ, kid, you know." You tried pro football, that didn't work, and now you want to try something that's it'll be harder, you know, at your age. And I said, what am I going to do? You know, I don't want to stay here. I mean, I loved Youngstown, but there was nothing for me there anymore, you know. And most of my friends were gone or married, you know, with you know, starting families and everything. So I said, oh, I got to get out of here. And that's what made me go.
But you were doing acting around here. Often,
yeah, oh, like, yeah. That was funny, so too, because
it wasn't brand new to you.
No. I had done it in high school a little bit. Mother Rosemary over at Ursuline lassoed me into doing the school plays. And, you know, I mean, I felt like my football playing buddies, I felt like I should take myself behind the stadium and beat myself up for betraying them, you know. And because they'd say to me, what are you doing? But this acting thing, you know. I said, I don't know. I kind of like it. Yeah, but I mean, you know, come on, you know. Is it girls? You know, and I said, yeah, it's to meet girls. Because they could understand that, sure. You know. And then I started, when I came back from Florida, I started at the Playhouse. I started going to the Playhouse and I started doing plays there. And then I went back down to the university, Spotlight Theater. I did a bunch of plays down there. And then I started realizing, look, if I want to continue this, I got to go. Yeah. I can't stay here and do plays at the Playhouse all my life, you know.
So what do you do now?
Some people do, which is fine, but it's a part-time thing,
sure,
you know.
Correct. What do you do next? Your season 10 is coming up.
Well, I think I'm going to do. I have a movie out now on Netflix. It's called Sundogs with Allison Janney and
she's awesome.
Alyssa Benoist.
She's awesome.
Yeah, we play husband and wife.
Do you really?
In this movie. And then I think I might do a movie in Atlanta in September. It's a pretty good movie with some good people. I'll see. I mean, I got offered the role. I just have to try to work it out with the show, you know.
All right. But you see yourself doing this as many years as you can?
Why not? You know, I mean, what else?
Sure. I saw Peter Fonda talking about Nicholson and just said that Nicholson just kind of quietly didn't announce anything, but you just don't see him coming out anymore. Just doesn't want any part.
Well, I mean, Nicholson is how old now? Is he 80?
Somewhere probably north of there. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know the same thing happens. I mean, it happens. Gene Hackman, you know, yeah. Is down in New Mexico. He doesn't. He's writing. He's writing novels. And. You know, he doesn't act anymore. I mean, that...
Yeah.
I mean, Eastwood's still doing it, but he directs, you know?
Correct. Which, by the way, are you still doing the martial arts? Because I saw you on a video a while back, and you're in great shape.
You know what? I had a problem with a bulging disc in my back, and I've got a little bit of a recurring knee problem that's been keeping me away from it. I do it like once a week with Horry and Gracie.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for how long? 30 years. I've been doing that 30 years.
Yeah.
I love it. I just wish I could keep doing it, you know. Now I'm sort of like limping through it, you know.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's keeping you in great shape.
Well, it's a great thing. It's a really interesting... martial art, you know, it's fascinating, you know.
And the Gracies are phenomenal.
Leverage and positioning and timing and, you know, it's pretty cool.
Well, Modern Family's on tonight. It's Shelley Long's episode. She's your ex-wife, correct?
Oh, yeah. Is it a new one?
No, this is the one that aired in November, if you're calling that one new. I know she's been on a couple times, correct? So, yes. So the Shelley Long episode, the first aired in November, is on tonight. You got a few more weeks before season 9 closes, season 10. And you said there's...
Oh, no, we're done.
Yeah.
We're on hiatus. We go back in August.
And that's season 10?
That's season 10.
And then possibly season 11?
Possibility of 11, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, what's the spinoff opportunity for somebody on the show? Cam?
You know, I don't know. I kind of think maybe I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a spinoff.
Okay.
And just because I think that the producers, the creators of the show, Chris Lloyd and Steve Levitin, I think they'll be on to something else. You know, I think that would be good for them. And but it's been a great show. I mean, it's a very well-made show, and I'm very proud of it. But, you know, things come to an end, you know, and that's just the way it is.
So Sundogs is out on Netflix.
Sundogs is on Netflix, and it's a cute little movie. It's a low budget, but it's pretty cool.
Nice. Well, we will go check it out and give it some promo here. This has been a great hour, as always, Ed.
It's a blast talking with you.
I hope it wasn't too boring, but I mean,
no. Come on.
I always enjoy talking to you guys, and you know, I try to.
No, my mind is racing.
And I just, for me, you know, again, it's a trip down memory lane a little bit. Remember, you know, I hadn't thought of North Heights and the Savages. I mean, I haven't thought of the Savages for years.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's nice to, you know, kick it around like that. Certainly for me. Certainly.
I mean, I love the North Side. You know, growing up, we had a whole crew of guys. You know, John Franken and Al Fleming, and you know, who else lived there was. Let me forget his name. You know, he played for the Buffalo Bills. Paul.
McGuire.
McGuire, you know.
Yep.
He was over there, and he was older than we were. We used to shag his punts. You know, as kids, he would be practicing up at Rand Stadium, and and this guy, it seemed like, you know, we were kids, but it seemed like he could kick the ball, like, you know, further than anyone you ever saw, you know. I think he led the nation in punting when he was in college. But it was a great bunch of guys.
Yeah, no, these stories are pretty rich.
I saw my friend John Rorick. Did you guys know John Rorick?
No.
John was 2 years older than I was. He was my hero when I was a kid. He was the best athlete I ever saw. He died. He died last year. I was so upset about it. He played for Ursuline, and then he played for Youngstown State. He was just one of the greats. Coached out at Fitch, and just one of the great guys and one of the great athletes. And I tried to get the sports department to do a special feature on him, but I don't know. Maybe it was, you know, it never happened. So
I'll go fire him if you want. Is that what you're
Johnny
asking?
Johnny Rorick. His nickname was Brains.
Yeah.
But great guy. Anyway, you know, we could do this all day. So.
Sure can.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure. You know, we'll do it again sometime down the road.
I hope so soon. I hope so soon. Ed O'Neill, thank you so much for being back on with us.
Okay. Bye, Todd.